Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. We are so happy you are with us here today. If you are new to our parish, please pick up a registration form from one of our sacristans in the back. We are here for you and would love for you to join our family. At this time, please take a moment to silence your cell phones. Our parish mission is beginning this week. We welcome you to come this Monday through Wednesday to listen to the inspirational talk by Father Eugene O'Reilly. We will also be speaking in each of this weekend masses to prepare you for this spiritual journey. The mission runs Monday through Wednesday at 7 p.m. here in the church with our penance service on Tuesday. There will be a second collection this weekend for the Catholic Relief Services, which assists the poor and vulnerable around the world. Thank you for your generosity. The baby bottles for the Pregnancy and Family Life Center can be dropped into any basket near the entrances of the church. Thank you for your support of this local ministry. Now our devotional prayers, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him when we come in our way, and may God wonder instead of any host. By the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world to deliver little souls. Amen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And
good morning, everyone.
Good morning,
so we gather in this holy place, and we place ourselves in the presence of one another, but we're always mindful that every single day of our lives, we're in the presence of our God. So let's take a moment now, and we look into our own lives to see who and what we are in our own sight, but also in the sight of God, and ask God's mercy and pardon for anything that may have been sinful. Reconcile the human race to yourself in a most marvelous way. Grant, we pray, that with devotion and eager faith, we, your Christian people, may hasten toward the solemn celebrations that are to come. We ask this and make this prayer through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Reading from the first book of Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have chosen my king from among his sons." As Jesse and his sons came to the sacrifice, Samuel looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is here before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. Not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." In the same way, Jesse presented seven sons before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Then Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" Jesse replied, "There is still the youngest, who is tending the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send for him. We will not begin the sacrificial banquet until he arrives here." Jesse sent and had the young man brought to them. He was ruddy, a youth, handsome to behold, and making a splendid appearance. The Lord said, "There, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel, with the horn of oil in hand, anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm response: "The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want."
The Lord
of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them, for it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And they brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. And he said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." But some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he doesn't keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such things?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" And the man said, "He's a prophet." And they answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin. Are you trying to teach us?" And then they threw him out. And when Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." The man said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshipped him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, first of all, I just want to let everybody know that I'm very, very happy and pleased to be back here in this wonderful, wonderful little parish. I'm not sure how long it's been. It's probably, I don't know, 21st, at least 3 years, probably four, maybe five. Last week I was in Tampa and I was preaching at a big parish. It's always nice, you know, to come to a smaller place and This parish last week, there were babies everywhere. It must have been something in the water. There were lots of babies. And I got up to preach, and there was a little baby there who decided to preach at the same time. So I just kept on talking, and the baby kept on crying. I kept on talking, and the baby cried even louder. I just kept on talking, and then the baby started to scream. And then I noticed the poor, exasperated mother trying to control this screaming baby. Anyway, she got up from the pew, and she was heading towards the door of the church to leave. And I said to her, I said, look, you don't have to leave. I said, that baby is not bothering me at all. And she said, that's good. She said, well, you're bothering him. So we don't have any babies here this morning, so that's great. Probably none of you will leave. So anyway, as you know, there's something exciting. It's going to be 3 days of this parish mission. So we're beginning the mission on Monday evening, right, at 7 o'clock. And we go Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. It's 3 evenings. And it's only an hour each night. And you know why it's only an hour? Because this is true. I believe this. The length of a priest's sermon is always in direct proportion to the height of the priest. So the taller he is, the longer he talks. Do not let your bishop give a homily. He will be there for weeks. All right? Okay, so here's a little commercial for the mission. You know, we as Catholics and as Christians, we hold the cross of Christ to be very important. We start our prayers, we make the sign of the cross. And remember years ago when those of us who were much younger, we were always taught certain things about our Catholic tradition. That you walked past or drove past the door of a church, what were you supposed to do? Make the sign of the cross. Some people made it quick. You didn't know what they were doing. You thought they were having a spasm, but they were making the sign of the cross. If you had a cap on, you were supposed to take your cap off, right? And in those days, hopefully people still do, but I remember we were always told to wear a medal of your favorite or patron saint. Now, my dear old Irish grandmother, she could never walk standing upright. She was bent over all the time, like this. Walked around like this. There was nothing physically wrong with the woman, but I believe that she was bent over due to the weight of the 400 medals that she was wearing. She loved all the saints. She said, I got to wear their medal. But we wear crosses today. And then we look at this beautiful cross here, this beautiful little church building, and we see Jesus there dying for you and for me. It's the world's greatest sign of love. And whenever you look at that cross, immediately you see Jesus, right? But what is it that you don't see? You don't see the two thieves. And to me, that's very important. Our tradition tells us Jesus on his cross, as he was being crucified, had a thief crucified, one on his left, one on his right. Thieves steal things. Things that don't belong to them. Things that are valuable. But as we go through our lives, all of us here this morning, just like Jesus, every day we have a thief on either side of us. And who are these two thieves that we have? On the one side we have this thief, let's call it the thief of the past, or the thief of yesterday. And the other side of us, we have the thief of tomorrow, or the thief of the future. Yesterday and tomorrow are really two thieves. And these two thieves are trying to steal from this day. It's very human. We all do this. We'd all like to go back in time, to have that time to do it all over again. But knowing what we know now, our wisdom, our experience, our knowledge, if we could take that back 25 years into the past, we might be able to say, you know, if I could do that, I would go to some people and I would really go to them and say, I forgive you. Or I go to somebody else and say, will you forgive me? And I should have done that. I should have said it. Or maybe go back 40 years, knowing what we know now. we might get the chance and go to people and say, you know, I don't say this a lot. I found it hard to say. But I want you to know that I love you. I care for you. Yeah, I should have told someone, a family member, my mother, father, son or daughter, I love them. I should have said that, but I didn't. So what happens? We look back over our lives, and this thief says, you'll never forget that. You carry it around with you every single day. And each day that you're here, you're really not so much here. You're looking back at all those things that we did, shouldn't have done, said, shouldn't have said. And we just keep on and pile on more guilt and more shame and more regret. And this is how people go through life, unfortunately. You know, if only I'd have stayed in school a little bit longer, got more education, I'd be better off today. And if only I made the decision and moved sooner than I did, I'd be happier. If only I could have gotten a different job, I'd probably have more money today. I've heard this one too. If only I'd have married somebody else. If we're looking back and living in the past, that list of if onlys grows longer every day. We also have the thief of tomorrow, the future. And we look ahead. And this thief says to us, look, you're not supposed to be happy now, today, but you will be. Wait for it. It's coming. When? Oh, when you get out of school, when you move, when you get a different type of job, when you lose 30 pounds, or when you retire. It's always ahead of us, our happiness. And we have some fears and worries as we look ahead into the unknown. How many more good years of happy, healthy life is God going to give us? In 10 years, 15 years, will I be here? 10, 15 years, will I have my mind? Will I know who I am? Will I know who you are? In 10 years, or however many years in the future, am I going to have enough money to look after my needs? Is there going to be anyone around to really look after me and care for me? And you know, that's the job of the thief. He says, wait, wait to be happy. And also, be paralyzed with fear over these things which might or might not happen. And speaking of waiting, I went into a senior's residence a little while ago. Those are lonely places. And what do the people do all day? They wait. That's all they do is wait. They wait for the time to take their medication. They wait for the time to go and have something to eat. They wait for the time that the phone will ring. They wait for someone to visit. They wait. Now I went in to see this lady. Oh, she might have been 87. She was sitting in the chair staring out the window. And I went into her room and I said, good morning, how are you? She said, life's tragic. I said, really? Why would you say life's tragic? She said, well, I'm just sitting here and I'm waiting to die. But God's not taking me. Just waiting to die. A number of years ago, I had this man say this to me. He said, I know this is awful, Father, but I'm telling you, he said, I'm waiting for someone to die in order to be happy.
Really?
Unless you own the funeral home, that's not a good idea. But if you own the funeral home, by all means, wait for people to die. So we struggle with yesterday, struggle with tomorrow. What have we got left for today? So as we're now journeying through Lent, so we've got all these wonderful readings every Sunday, right? We had Jesus going into the desert to be tempted by the devil, right? The devil said, look, wouldn't you like Jesus to go through life, snap your fingers, have all the power and authority in the world? Jesus said, no. Wouldn't you like to go through life, Jesus, and never be hungry or thirst? No. Wouldn't you like to go through life, Jesus, and never be hurt? Nope. And then Jesus took his disciples up the mountain, and the voice of the cloud said, this is my son, the beloved. Do what? Listen to him. And then last Sunday, Jesus met this Samaritan woman at the well, and he offered her water that if she drank it, which was him, she would never be thirsty again. And what do we have today? We have this beautiful story of this man who was blind from birth. Jesus always was fighting with the Pharisees. Why? Because these Pharisees were narrow-minded. They could only see one thing. And they did not believe and really see the things that Jesus did. Raise those who were dead back to life. Cured the lepers. Giving sight to the blind. On a Sabbath, he broke the law. They said, this Jesus is a fake. He's not the Son of God. So even though these Pharisees had eyes to see and ears to hear, they refused to see and listen. As we go through life, we're asked to listen to one voice. There's all of these other voices out there screaming at us. And they're loud, they're very attractive, from the movies, the television, the magazines, computer. And these voices say, if at any time in your life you feel sad or worried or anxious or depressed, well, you can just drink more booze, drink your problems away, or pop a few more pills to numb the pain, or spend more time watching TV or be on the computer till 3 o'clock in the morning, escaping reality. But we're told that those aren't the voices that we need to listen to. There's only one voice, and that's the voice of Jesus. So for the next 3 evenings, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, for an hour, here, I hope that you would make the effort to give yourself a gift of that 1 hour. I know you're busy people. We got things to do, places to go, schedules, commitments. But to come here, not to listen to me, but maybe through my human words, inadequate as they are, you will, if you are open, you will hear what Jesus is saying to you. You will see some of the things that God has done in your life that you may not have been aware of. That's my hope and my prayer, that you will make the effort to come. If you can come all 3 evenings, that would be great. If you're only able to make one of those 3 evenings, great as well. So that's it. That's my commercial. And if you want to hear the rest of the story, they got to come back. So let's stand now and we profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, consubstantial with the Father, and through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. So now, confident in God's abiding love and endless compassion, we place all of our needs before him in faith.
For church leaders, may the Holy Spirit bless them as they guide their flocks. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For lawmakers, may the God of justice guide them with wisdom and a sense of service to all. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who are absent from the life of the church, may the Lord encourage them in their faith and deliver them from doubt. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our community, may the Spirit of the Lord grant us the strength and courage to live out our faith each day. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That, illuminated with the light of Christ, we may follow where he leads through our Catholic ministry appeal. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our beloved dead, especially Peter, Proben, Nuno, may they live in the house of the Lord forever. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Loving and gracious God, we ask that you hear these prayers that we raise to you this day in words, but hear those prayers which still remain hidden and silent in our hearts. And we know that in our faith that you will hear these prayers, that you will answer them, but always in your own way and in your own time, through Christ our Lord.
Amen. As the gifts are being prepared, let us sing together number 405, There Is a Longing. This which is my sacrifice and yours, that it may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice in your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the cause of the Church.
We place before you with joy these offerings this day, O Lord, which bring eternal remedy, O Lord, praying that we may both faithfully revere them and present them to you as is fitting. For the salvation of the world, we ask us to make this prayer through Christ our Lord.
Amen. lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just. It is our duty and salvation always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you will that our self-denial should give you thanks, humble our sinful pride, and contribute to the feeding of the poor, and so help us imitate you in your love and kindness. And so now we glorify you with countless angels, as with one voice of praise we acclaim. Jesus took bread and giving thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, Jesus took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "And take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. So do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
And therefore, we celebrate once again this day the memorial of his death and resurrection. We do offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held each one of us worthy to be here this day in your presence and serve you. Humbly we pray that partaking and sharing of the body and blood of Christ, that all of us may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Lord, remember your church, your people spread all over the world. Bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, our Bishop, and all who minister with love to your people. Remember now also our sisters and brothers who have fallen asleep in the sure hope of the resurrection, and all of those who have died in your mercy. Welcome them now into the light of your face. Now we pause and say a very special prayer for those who have died, members of our families and our friends. And have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles, Elizabeth, Stephen, and all the saints who have pleased you down through the ages, that we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Confidence, we pray for the coming of God's kingdom, a kingdom of justice, of peace, and of truth. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Lord, deliver us, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant us peace. And by the help of your love and mercy, that we may always be free from sin, safe from all worry or distress, as together we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus, you said to your friends, "Peace I leave you, my peace is my gift to you." Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your people, your church. Graciously grant us peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
May that peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
We offer each other now a sign of Christ's peace.
Show me the presence.
God, who enlighten everyone who comes into this world, illumine our hearts this day, we pray, with the splendor of your grace, that we may always ponder what is worthy and pleasing in your sight and love you in all sincerity. We ask this and make this prayer through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Again, I want to thank all of you for getting out of bed today and getting in your car and coming and gathering together as a community to worship. Also want to thank the little branch of the Sistine Choir again. You're sounding better and better every time I hear you. It's great. So again, remember now, we start the mission when?
Monday.
What time?
Yeah.
How long will it be?
Yeah.
Did I tell them that? Was it out? Yeah, now. Yeah. All right. So here's a... Friday was St. Patrick's Day, right?
Yes.
And that's the day when everybody celebrates their Irishness. Yeah. So when I arrived, and there was Father Sojan said, we're coming down to the parish hall to have the fish fry. I said, well, we can eat meat. He said, no, we're having a fish fry. Okay. So anyway, here's a little story. There was a little, in Ireland, there was a little Catholic town, all Catholics except one guy, Bob. He was a Baptist. So Bob the Baptist. Not John the Baptist. Bob the Baptist. I heard a priest one time, it flustered a young priest when he was talking about the baptism of Jesus. He said, today we celebrate when Jesus got baptized by Jordan in the John. It's John, it's Bob the Baptist. So every Friday during Lent, the Catholics were eating fish. Bob was out barbecuing a big steak. All the Catholics said, look, he's tempting us to eat meat on Friday. And we've asked him to stop, but he won't. And somebody said, why don't we ask him if he'd like to be a Catholic? That way he'd have to eat fish on the Friday. So they went, Bob, would you like to be a Catholic? He said, sure. Brought him to the priest. The priest gave him a crash course in Roman Catholicism. And then he took the holy water and he sprinkled it on him. And he said, Bob, you were born a Baptist. He said, you were raised a Baptist. And now you're a Catholic. Bob said, that's it? Yeah. Simple as that. Next Friday, all the Catholics were eating fish except Bob. There he was in the backyard, barbecuing a big steak. And they went over and looked at Bob in the yard, and there he was, standing at the barbecue, looking down at the steak, and he had water. And he said, you were born a cow. You were raised a cow. He said, and now you're a fish. The Lord be with you. The Almighty God bless us all, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May go in peace to love, to serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Enjoy the rest of this gorgeous day.
As we're sent forth, let us sing together number 599, I Want to Walk as a Child of God.